Thank you so much for tuning in to the Shine Love Podcast. If you haven't already, please go ahead and share with your friends, share with your loved ones, and come back for more. Thank you.
All right, y'all. What's up, family? It's your boy, The Fisherman. That's with two R's coming through on the Shine Love Podcast. I got my lovely co-host with me. What's up, ma?
Hey, everybody. Alley Cat. A-L-L-E-E. Y underscore underscore K-A-T-T.
Awesome. How you doing?
I'm good.
Awesome, awesome.
How are you?
I'm cool. But, you know, we got a real special guest, man. One of my real close friends. You know, shout out to the Hawk Boys, you know. All right. But, yeah, man, one of my dogs. And I'm just so happy to do this episode with you. So, you know, before we can get into it, who are you? How can people follow you? What's your whole bio? The whole shebang.
Greetings. My name is Ikechukwu Omahalu. What's my IG name? Shaka underscore world.
Come on.
Y'all probably already follow me though.
Yes, get it.
You know, I'm just living life, you know, had a long night, so trying to get up today.
Listen, you might see me drink water.
Living because, a crazy life.
Hey, man, happy belated birthday to the twins, Kenny and Kerry. Hope y'all had an awesome birthday.
They did.
Nah, for sure. Well, y'all, we about to jump into the book, but before we do that, you already know we got to introduce the wine. So what we drinking? We drinking a nice red wine blend. La Peace Luna has a real dope cover on a bottle. So that's kind of wild.
It's so cute. Yeah, and turn around.
Yeah, like it's kind of
like both sides.
Yeah, you know, real artistic. So, you know, finding my wine companies out there, definitely get creative with the artistry. Yeah, so this is a red blunt. So we just gonna go ahead and take a little sip. All
right.
Oh, wow.
It's okay.
Y'all had a long night.
Teamwork makes the dream work.
I had a long night. They're going to pull you up.
Teamwork. All right.
Oh, y'all be pulling up.
You
know, like,
supposed to, you know, get a little fill it up like quarter. All right. We're just going to do it like that.
Wait a minute.
Y'all.
Stop. You need to stop as well.
No, seriously. Hey, man, let's go ahead and toast it out to an awesome episode. Awesome people. Let's get it.
I still do that.
We're not supposed to.
Guys!
I know. I'm like, why are we
that's
going
to stop midway? He did it.
Why are we going like
I'm here. I'm here. Y'all did that.
Okay. Last night.
Last night
and y'all system.
Y'all
body.
But it's not bad, though. It's a little tart.
Oh, wait. One more time.
It's pretty good, though. It's not bad. Okay, not a fan.
It's okay.
It's all right.
It's cool. A little twerk.
If you like dry,
you'll
love it.
usually like blends are like in the middle. Like they're not too dry, they're not too sweet. So this is a little more dry.
Yeah.
But it's not bad.
I like my extra sweet, you know.
Oh gosh.
I'm still a kid, so
we see. Because you act a real childish right
now. It is what it is. I can't.
Awesome. But, y'all, I'm so excited for this episode. It's something that I really have been wanting to talk about for a long time. And it was really cool kind of seeing another podcast cover what we're about to cover now. But I want to go ahead and jump into our author. So our author is Jason Reynolds. Jason Reynolds is an author. He's a writer. He is, those two are the same things, but he's an awesome person. I had a chance to listen to his keynote speech. And during his keynote speech, man, I was like, in awe. I said, yo, this dude is so, so tough that like I bought every single book he wrote.
Yeah. He did.
Like by the end of his keynote speech, I bought every single book he ever wrote. And I was just so inspired by the way that he connected with me. And I'm sure the way that he also connects with the audience. Right. And so he has a demographic that he writes for. And in his writing, he does a lot of things that most people, I'm not going to say don't do. Some people do it, but whatever. But he really shows a different perspective of how boys and girls interact in like middle school and like that high school age. That's pretty much his target audience. And it was so refreshing to not only read, but to listen to him talk about how to become a more effective teacher. One of the things he said was about connection, right? And so we're going to talk a little bit more about that. But before we go into it, just really quick, want to open up the floor. What do you feel is the role of, or how do you feel that we view Black boys, and we can also go Black girls too, because I think your perspective is important.
It is.
How do we view Black boys and Black girls? Let's just go broad, and then we're going to get concise in a little bit. I'm going to open up to the guests first, and then we're going to go at it.
Okay. How do we view Black boys and Black girls? I think, for me, it really depends on the area, right? When you're talking about Black boys and Black girls in like a predominantly white area versus a majority Black area, you know, urban city type area. But I think like how we view them, like let's say elementary school, it may be, you know, the boys will be boys and, you know, try to overcorrect what little girls, you know, and I'm not too sure what they do in a predominantly white area, but it may be virtually the same thing.
Yeah.
But, and then, you know, you just like try to gear towards a little middle school, like let's say the little girl, for instance, if she's not doing too well in school, like, you know, like, oh, she may be a little off track, X, Y, and Z, put her back on track versus the little boys. Like, they'll try to like put him in either a remedial type class and just shut him, like, oh, something's wrong with him, put him on medication, whatever it may be. But I definitely think like they view little boys as, you know, they'll get it together sooner or later type versus the little girls. Like, they need to get together now.
So do you agree, disagree?
Definitely agree.
Yeah.
For sure. Especially like with the like over pathologizing little boys, like making them like they're so hyperactive, they're aggressive and da-da-da, and like putting them on, you know, all these medications and diagnosing them with ADHD and all of this. And it's just like, no, I just have a lot of energy. No,
right.
I just, right. You know, and with, I don't think with both boys and girls, like we adultify them. And like, oh, like you need to grow up, you need to do this. And then the boys will be boys. And like,
Why do you feel like we, well, first, I'm going to go to, like, the girls. Why do you think we overcorrect them so much or, like, want them to be so perfect? Like, where do you – I mean, I'm sure – I know it comes from a lot of things, but I'm just thinking about it now, right? Like, why is there such a need for this overcorrection now? You know, granted, I do understand where it came from, but, like, why do you feel like we are continuing that?
Personally, I feel like the older I get as a man – not saying I can see how it happens, but I think it's really more out of fear than anything. In the sense of we, as a man turning into a father, you know how ugly this world really is. And how, so it's like, which battle are you going to take? Try to protect her by all costs or try to change the problem? You know what I'm saying? So it's like attacking the problem seems like a bigger feat for the man. So he'll try to overcorrect the daughter, so she can just basically navigate the world safely, how he sees it.
Why don't we correct boys in the same way?
I don't think they think that they can. In a sense of like, not that they can't, but listen, no. Remember what I said about how the two different battles, because you have to then put for everybody to correct their sons, right? And then on top of that, society has to change their way of thinking. But society already thinks one way as it is. To them, it might just be easier. And the easier route isn't the best route, but I think it's just, they feel like it's the easier route.
But I don't know if I agree with it being easier though. gonna be honest. I really feel like it's lax. I just feel like, because I don't think it's super easy to correct little girls. I've worked at an all girls school. Right. I don't think that teaching little girls or raising little girls is easy. I don't see it as, you know, if I had to pick, well, am I gonna have a daughter or a son? I'm gonna pick a daughter because it's easy. I never thought in that way, but it's interesting because even in the other way, people think raising boys is easy, that right. they have to do nothing. Mm-hmm. Right. And I think that's the interesting perspective that one, this book made me think about. And then two, just like what I'm seeing, I saw the I'm an Athlete podcast and they were covering a lot of, you know, men's mental health and stuff like that. And I'm just wondering, like, why do we think it's so easy to raise boys by not raising them? Mm-hmm. No, for real. When you think about it, it's really scary. Like, we just don't raise them. We actually just let them grow up one day, let the world teach them their mistakes, and then all of a sudden, if they figured it out, cool, and if they didn't, then cool, right? And that's very interesting. Mm-hmm.
So do you think that has anything to do with the two-parent household, or like who's in the household that's like raising these boys, or it doesn't really matter?
I don't know if I think it matters though. Because if I'm hearing IK, if I'm hearing what you said, you were saying that even as a man turning to a father, they still overcorrect their little girl, but they may not overcorrect their boy.
So the difference, the thing is, which is, I guess it's harder. It's like, what would you be overcorrecting them about? Little boy, for instance, or like, what would you be saying to him?
How to treat women,
we don't overcorrect kids in general about how to treat other kids, unless we say right. I've heard more of you don't hit little girls, but I've never heard you tell a little girl you don't hit little boys or anything like that. No one corrects anybody in that standpoint on how to treat boys versus how to treat girls. It'd be more of, you know, sit like this, do like this, you know, like that's how they usually do women. But I mean, little girls, but like, what do you do for little boys?
You mean like how to behave?
Right. Like, okay. And even in the case of like, oh, maybe he pulls her hair, right? Don't pull her hair. Okay, that probably happened. But what it's like, what exactly would you, like, until it happens, until something happens, what would you be overcorrecting? And I think that may be the problem they want to have talks with little boys about things they know nothing about. And introduce them to, like, you know, this is gonna happen later on. Yeah. So you better not do it, you know? And it's like, so it's like, where do you start?
Okay.
What you
about?
I just have this question, like, what are some things that, like, either of you guys, like, parents, like, or like your father, like, reprimanded you about, or like, what were some of the things that, like, you can pull from?
Come on, therapy. Hey, just
see, honestly, I'm gonna say this too. Being Nigerian, I'm not saying that the women don't get, the girls don't get corrected more. They do, but like, it's kind of more to me. I feel like growing up, they're getting you on the same things for the most part. Mm-hmm. You know, like, let's say grades wise, you're getting overcorrected about that. Or just lying in general, you're getting overcorrected about that. Or honestly, how to respect your elders. I think that's a big one that everybody, like, across the board, but just being a boy itself.
The only boy.
Yes, I am. I don't really think my father overcorrected me about much of anything, but when I was small. But also because, like you said, lack of raising, but a lot of African parents don't even raise you in that aspect, you know.
Yeah,
so
for sure,
like, I remember the first time I can really recall him trying to overcorrect me is when I was like in seventh grade, and I said I wanted a Mercedes. He didn't want to hear that.
You like, want Mercedes. And, y'all know how people are Honda. You want Mercedes.
And it was more of like, he was trying to humble me. Like, you're not even there yet. You trying to talk like you were somebody. But when it comes down to behavior, only like respecting, you know, your elders or what have you, what they really like go to bat for. Outside of that, I can't really think of an instance where I was overly corrected.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Yeah, for sure. For me, my father is... All right, well, one, I was already a pretty kind spirit. I ain't really... I didn't really do anything. I was pretty dope. I'd be telling my dad all the time, like, yo, I gave you no issues. Like, all my friends was really wilding. Like, I was a cool kid. Like, I didn't really do too much. Like, I didn't really, like, I was a shy kid, so I wasn't really, like, out there like that. But I always say I wish that my dad would have put me on game earlier about life. And I feel like he almost had to let me figure too much out on my own. Like, I almost wish that he told me what it's like to be in a relationship with a woman. I wish that he told me what it's like to, you know, go through those down moments that men have. You know what I'm saying? Like, every, like, few months, it's just moments to me. You can tell me if you feel this way, too. But there's just some moments where I just be down bad. Like, bro, I don't feel like talking. I don't feel like doing nothing. It ain't nobody do nothing to me that's, like, got me off my rock. It's just the nature of whatever, you know. But I wish he would have told me that. I wish he would have told me about, you know, when you fail in life, what that feels like, what that looks like, what you have to do once you do that. And I feel like that part of parenting, he didn't do. And now, like, he's doing it now for sure, right? But I also come to him with certain issues, and then he helps me out. But I wish he would have kind of
initiated
the conversation for that space.
You know why he did it, though? Because the problem with being African in general is that a lot of our parents really went through a different type of trench. Like, what they went through is just beyond our understanding that we can't see, right? So they came over here and gave us this whole different life, this whole better life, that they're like, what would you be complaining about?
Yeah.
What's the problem? What's the issue? You know what I'm saying? Like, you, what's suffering? You know, what you upset about? What you depressed about? For what? You want to see what I went through? You know, that's their mindset.
I was going to school, you know, through the jungle. No,
I remember one time, I talked to my father about depression one day, and he was like, you think I've never been, you know, depressed before in Nigeria? I have, but it's like, you just got to just get through.
But IK, if your father was to tell you, right, like, yo, IK, like, if he would, son, right, like, there are times where I've been through X, Y, and Z. He told you that before you went through it, or as you, at a time where you were going through it, but you didn't know that somebody else was feeling how you was feeling, how would you have felt?
See, the second one would have been more real. Like, because I'm not going to lie, if you told me something before it came, I might not have
took it. You might not took it.
But then if it's something that they don't even know I'm feeling, but I'm really feeling it, then it would have been different. And that's because they see that you're going through it, you know?
Right.
And they're connecting with it, even though you don't even know you're connecting with it. Yes, it's a different type of feeling. And I think a lot of our parents, because they put us in such a good position, it's hard for them to connect to it, you know? Because, like, one time, I don't think I cried to my father once, right? Once. And I was a grown, you know? And I don't know how that even happened, but it just happened, you know? Right. And he was like, whoa, I didn't even know it was this bad, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I didn't even know it got this bad. Like, I knew you may be, like, feeling a certain way, but damn, you know?
Yeah.
And that's when he put on, like, it's because you'd be surprised how your parents can turn on that nurturing mode, like, you know, everything's cool, it's going to be okay. Like, it's really nothing. Like, you're really, what you're tripping about, what you're hurt about, it's gonna pass, and by they know all the words then, but it's like, you could have told me that, you know, beforehand.
Right, right.
You know, so it's like, yes, parents should try to get you ready for the world. But I guess for some parents, they feel like, can I get him ready for the world?
I wanna say two things. One, I think we also, this isn't just a parent thing, this is also just a human connection thing, right? But I feel like we have to stop minimizing how other people feel. And I know this sound, that sounded so regular, right? But I always tell people this as a connection to that, right? And so if you see a kid right now who lost a pencil in school, what you gonna say to that kid?
Just a pencil.
It's just a pencil. You're gonna say the same thing too. It's just a pencil, right? Now I want you to imagine that the kid may have saw, and I got this from another young lady, I think Revolve Learning, I think the sister who does that. So check her out. And she gave the analogy like, yo, all right, so now that same kid, let's say he saw his mom get her purse stolen, right? And so now, like, but let's say somebody took his pencil, mm-hmm. right? So now he's not looking at that pencil as though it was just a pencil. To him, that's his mother's purse. That's something of value that's greater than a pencil. And so by us downplaying that kid's feelings, what we're doing is gaslighting, making them feel invalid. And I feel like that's what our parents do sometimes, especially African parents, right? With this whole, what you're feeling is nothing. But even in human connection, we do that often where we kind of go through a trauma war. Well, what I went through was, it's like, nah, like what I went through may not have been, you know what I'm saying, the trenches, but it still is valid. It still hurt this in the same way. It did.
I think it really depends, right? The problem, what you're saying sounds cute, but don't tell you what the issue is. Let's say the pencil and the purse analogy, right? End of the day, a purse is a purse with a lot of valuables in it. It's a pencil. No, wait. So listen, let's say he saw his mother get her purse stolen and seen the reaction out of all of that. Okay. So now somebody, he thinks John took his pencil, popped him, you know, and you can't do that. No. It's like, I know what you felt, but you have to understand that that's not that purse. It is a pencil. Because the problem with that is that you may take things overboard, you know?
But the issue with what you're saying is not, where you're at is at a different point. Where I'm at is addressing the issue.
Right?
If I came to you and I told you Lil Johnny stole my pencil and you said, it's just a pencil.
Okay, no.
Now I'm going to feel like I can't come to you to talk about nothing because you don't get it. You're not vibing where I'm vibing with.
You're right.
And so as people, as human beings, we have to stop devaluing how we feel about certain things. We have to stop doing that.
Okay,
and
so I'm going to interject real quick.
Go ahead.
Because I feel like we're talking about mental health, really.
And we're going to. Somebody take us there.
Kind of move towards that. So, especially like in Black boys, and how it shows up as men. And so that's what I'm hearing right now. It's like, let's not invalidate, you know, Black boys' experiences and how they're feeling, because it's going to transcend into like adulthood. So what are you guys' thoughts on, I mean, I'm hearing the thoughts, but I want to know a little bit more about like mental health and Black boys and how we should be kind of nurturing their mental health and feelings. And
you know what? I would say that's 100, because, and you know what, now that you say it like that, the problem is that we invalidate, especially Black boys' feelings. We get older. I mean, me personally, I feel like, especially women in general, feel like Black men don't have feelings. Honestly, it's how I feel. Now, it's funny because, like, they know men are sensitive. They know men are sensitive, but it's like, I know, but I don't care.
Right.
You know, and that's how I feel.
I'm not going to hold you. I agree. I feel the same.
Like,
wow,
no, look.
Guys.
Now, Alex, you're different, right? Like, you know, that's one of the great things about you. But all right, the other day when they posted the I'm an athlete, that snippet of the podcast where they was talking, I don't remember exactly what his name is, but I know he was like, yo, why don't men ever talk about when they down bad, those moments?
Brandon Marshall.
And no, it was a light-skinned one.
It's
the light-skinned one with the locks.
Channing Crowder, I think.
Yeah, something like that. But he basically, and somebody like quoted and tweeted, well, this is why men seek therapy. I'm like, or something like that. And I was like, shorty, like this is a space that we're trying to create. And to me, I felt attacked by it a little bit. Like, I feel like when women say Black men need therapy, it almost feels like an attack. it almost feels like
yes,
they're saying they it in a way us. That yeah. No, nah, but for real, like I get what you're saying, right? It's yeah. like I know that you're in a way coming from a good place, but the way that you're that is being communicated feels like it feels like a force. It feels like you're forcing me to do something that
but it feels like an attack on us first. It feels like you are not listening to me. You are putting all of this on me and you're hurting me.
Mm-hmm.
And it's painful. Mm-hmm. So it's like
tell us.
The pain. So it's like, y'all need like go to therapy. And it's like I understand how it's coming off though. I can see it. But at the same time, it's like, who initiated the attack? Mm. Am I supposed to just
But see the problem is, because you're right. But I think the problem is that I had this conversation with one of my friends the other day is that sometimes they make it seem like black men, you need to go to therapy. I'm good. It is good. No, baby. You need to come with me.
We need to go to therapy.
And that's the problem.
Right. And I think that should be the comment. Like, yo, right. We as black people need to go to therapy.
And you know what? Also,
full stop.
And also, also the bigger thing that makes me feel attacked is because it's more of, you're telling me something's wrong with me. Mm-hmm. How you're saying it is if like something's really like something's ill, something's wrong with you.
Right,
get out of here,
right,
type, you know.
Right. If there's a difference, I was reading this book I'm reading, it's like there's a difference between shame and guilt.
Yes.
And guilt is when you do an act and you know you feel bad for that thing you did, but then shame makes you feel bad about who you are,
yes.
about your character. And in a way that it feels like an attack on my character. Like I am trying to create safe spaces. When I'm playing my video games, like that's my safe space. When I'm with my dogs, that's my safe space.
Yeah.
When I'm with my, you know what I'm saying? When I'm doing things that only benefit me, that's my safe space. But how many of those spaces do I really have? How many of those spaces are you not in a way trying to control, but can I not participate in because you here? You feel me? Like I can't even be my full authentic self because I have to be whatever you imagine that men have to be in your life.
And I think the bigger thing, because one thing I want to be said, we're not saying black men shouldn't go to therapy. They should.
Please go to therapy.
Please go.
The conversation is not about not going
to
therapy.
But I guess the issue sometimes is that somebody who doesn't know you from Adam sit there and try to point a finger at you like they know you, like, yeah, you need to go to therapy. You don't know me. Met me 3 minutes ago. Because I'm black. You start pushing all these things on me that maybe your ex did or your father. I don't care what they did. I have nothing to do with me. I'm sorry. That's not me. So you can't. Now, yes, if you want to have a conversation saying why, you know, as a whole, we need to go to therapy, black man, blah, blah, blah. Yes, that's true. But it's like, don't try to, like, size me up as if you know me.
Come on.
Okay, and I somewhat agree because if it's different if it's a projection.
Yes.
Like I'm projecting all of my fears and all of my whatever I have going on to you.
Yeah.
And I'm taking my past experiences and like, yeah, this is who you are. But if you are doing like notable actions that I can be like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, you know, then
for sure.
At that point it's like I don't have to know you. I just know you by your actions.
Yeah. Yeah. And I know you by your character. And so that's why touche. But y'all, listen, y'all know it's creeping up on that time. And I want to continue the conversation. I really do. And so here's what we're about to do. Because I feel like this conversation about mental health, black men, could go on forever because we got so many stones that we can turn, so many avenues that we can go under. But we're going to have to stop this conversation right here. You feel me? We just all, I try to do the 30-minute cap. We're going to have to stop this conversation right here. And I want to also bring in a woman and I want to talk about like what it's like for women. And so we're going to do that soon. But all right, listen. So real quick, man, let's go ahead and wrap it up.
I'm a woman. I'm right here.
No, I want to bring in another woman to validate you and your experience. And then I'm going to be like the male perspective.
I know. It's
Yo, listen, thank you for tuning in once again to the Shine Love Podcast. Jason Reynolds, you have an awesome discovery,
body of work.
Thank you so much for allowing us to use this space to you know talk about you and talk about black men and mental health. Y'all, thank y'all for checking out. Once again, my name is Hassan. Also, feel free to follow me at The Fisherman. That's with two R's. And then my lovely co-host.
I'm just Alley Cat. I'm not gonna spell it. I'm just Alley Cat.
All right, cool. And then we got a special guest.
You guys, y'all can check me out. Shaka_world. Shaka_world. I'm sorry. My voice kind of crazy today.
For sure, for sure. Y'all, works. Thank y'all for tuning in. And we out.
Yes.
You know I was on a